You're listening to the 1UP Network, and this is the 1UP Years podcast for Friday, October the 13th. And man, we've got one hell of a show for you today.
Overpromise and underdeliver.
Well, okay, we have a really crappy show for you today.
There
by the way,
there it is.
Wait till you get to the creamy nougat center.
This show marginally better.
Marginally better, right?
Tangible difference from last week.
Mr. Luke Smith on a roll already at the beginning of the show, and sitting to his left, special guest star who's here for the second part, but he said, "You know what? I want to put the headsets on."
Shane Bettenhausen.
Yeah. Right, Mr. Regular. Go ahead and say, "Hey, Shane," since we already introduced you now.
I am here. I can only be here for the first segment.
Oh.
I'm afraid my wit and wisdom will not grace the entire podcast because we're deep in the thick of deadline.
Yeah, and you know those print deadlines are. They're horrible.
They are rough.
We
do have a real special guest today.
And that's Mr. Scott Sharkey right here to your left.
Hi.
Live from Retronauts.
Scott Sharkey, staff writer, professional 8-year-old. Yeah.
That's quite a professional 8-year-old.
But wait, there's more.
There is more. And that would be... from Rockstar Games, Mr. Geronimo Barrera, producer extraordinaire on Bully.
And the Warriors.
And yeah, the Warriors.
That's right. Thank you guys for having me on.
And
Thank
not only that, he's rocking the key Rockstar sweatshirt.
Well, you know.
It's very stylish.
It's cold outside.
Very stylish.
We actually ran into Geronimo the other day at a barbecue joint, and I was randomly wearing the Warriors t-shirt.
Not
Wait,
randomly.
Wait, the place out on Geary?
Yeah, it's good.
You live in the city?
Yeah.
He lives in the Sunset.
Is that the t-shirt that came in a spray paint can?
It came in a little bundle. But anyway, it's a really cool t-shirt.
You know 95% of our staff all lives out in the Richmond.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I
grew up out in the Sunset.
Like
zip,
we live on the 38, unfortunately.
Oh, we do.
That for the 99.5% of you who listen to the show and don't live in the San Francisco area. The 38 is a bus line.
That's right. Where was that guy who wrote us that note from today? It was like the bizarrest place, Kabul or something.
Don't even grace him with a response. We didn't get any letters from anyone from any weird locations.
Yeah, by the way, if you're sending us lots of letters, we're getting lots and lots of letters now, so you're not going to get a personal response. We love you. We're sorry. We're overwhelmed. We read all of them. We do read all of them. We do respond to as many of them as we can.
And we actually laugh about a lot of them in a private email group. But
all right, so here's the look on today's show. Today's show. Yes.
Happy birthday, Luke.
Happy birthday, Luke Smith.
Well, yeah. It's technically yesterday, the 12th, was my birthday.
So. That's right. Today, yesterday.
We're still celebrating.
It's a week-long celebration.
That's right.
We're still celebrating.
So, everybody, cheers.
Beers to me.
Beers to Luke Smith and Red Bulls for Shane.
Yeah, I gotta go back into work.
Oh, like drinking doesn't help that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What do we got to talk about?
So, today's show, it started off...
Well, wait, where's John?
John. Well, I'm so sorry you're not here today, John. I shouldn't give him shit. He like calls me up. He's like, dude, I'm not going to be on the show.
He's in New York City.
That's right.
New York City.
So. They don't make any salsa there.
I'm glad that you took what was otherwise a subtle joke, peeled away the layers that made it good, and showed it to everyone.
First of all,
thanks for that. Way to dissect the frog, Garnet.
It wasn't subtle. It wasn't subtle, and it wasn't good either.
They apparently don't make cell phone towers there either.
Not for Sprint.
Mm. No.
Yeah, so we can't really bring him in. We're going to try and Skype him into his cell phone, but the connection was really crappy the couple of times I talked to him. So, John, we love you. We'll see you next week. Until then, you just have to listen to the show like everybody else out there. And that show for today is going to be like our normal setup. We're going to have what you've been playing in the first segment. We don't actually have any of the reader segment because that's usually John's thing, and we kind of drop that ball. So we'll just do an extended what you've been playing, and we'll roll right from there into the second segment, which will be with Geronimo. We'll be talking about Bully. We'll be talking about Rockstar, the creative approach in their games, all that kind of cool stuff. Following back in the third segment, Luke will hit us with news, and I don't even know if we'll hit everything. We have tons and tons of news stuff to get through here. So
there's a lot to squeeze in. We're going to probably need some lube.
Yeah, we're going to need some lube. So we better get rolling. First of all, before we go any further, I do have to get lots of feedback, speaking of feedback, about the iTunes issues. We understand that with fifth generation iPods, some of you guys who are trying to listen to the show are having some trouble with it rebooting. So we're doing our end. We need you to do your end. On our end, we are upgrading the official podcasting laptop to the latest version of iTunes. That should help a lot of you. If not, apparently what Apple's saying is if you want to listen to a podcast and you're having the reboot problem, turn off the equalizer in the menu and it'll stop rebooting when you're listening to podcasts.
The new version of iTunes reminds me of Firefox. It's kind of bloated.
Yeah.
It's kind of like iTunes started off really sleek and awesome.
And nice that they broke their own damn product for their own damn thing. Oh, podcasts named after the iPod. Let's break them.
Cool. That's going to help us in the iTunes Music Store rating this week, Garnet. I was just trying to poke gently, and you just... punching.
Yeah, well, hey, it's, you know.
Did you play any boxing games this week?
No, I didn't. However, I watched Skip play some very, very awesome boxing in Bully.
Dude,
what? What? What?
Oh, hang on, hang on. I'm prying Garnet's tongue off of an ass. What you been playing, Garnet?
Actually, it was really awesome, to tell you the truth.
Okay, I mean, we'll get to it. What you been playing? What did you play this week? You weren't
here. I took 3 days off, and I will admit to willfully spending most of my time playing Final Fantasy, which was awesome.
Which
and
one?
I'm Final Fantasy 12, of course.
Yeah,
there's
like 30
18
of them now.
Coming out this year, so...
You know what's so funny is that people have been... I'm actually going to write a preview about this next week because I wanted to dig into the combat system because people have been all worried about the whole, oh, well, you don't get to play it and it plays by itself and all that. Dude, that's totally not it at all.
Single penny arcade comic is going to set the opinion forever.
It is, but you and I disagree on this, Garnet. We do.
Really?
We do. I don't know if you've read my review.
I have not read your review.
Well, it's in the last issue.
The Gears of War.
I just read that like a minute ago, yeah.
Yeah. And
8.5, right?
That's what I gave it. I gave it 8.5, which is a really good score.
That was the low score, but...
It is the low score.
I'm not surprised. You are, because that is a low score.
That's not a Square Enix
that's
score,
like a zero.
Shane.
That is like a zero, you're
that's
right.
That's not a Square Enix score.
It's an award-winning score. But I think you and
Did
I are...
Did you give it to Valkyrie Profile?
Oh, God. I just got a little sick.
Did you fucking give Valkyrie Profile and Final Fantasy 12 in the same score?
I'm pretty sure I gave VP2 an 8.
Okay. So what's the difference in the... Wow. What are we disagreeing about?
Well, so the Gambit system is what you're getting at. You think that's brilliant, and even though it does...
I think it's awesome.
I think it's awesome because the regular battle system in that game is so mundane and uninteresting that the Gambit... It is. It's like Final Fantasy 11 battles... suddenly brought into Final Fantasy, you know, in a regular Final Fantasy game. And whereas, like, Final Fantasy 10 and...
How many guys are you controlling in Final Fantasy 11? Because when I was playing it, I was just playing the guy I was controlling.
I don't know. I was controlling about 9 guys.
In Final Fantasy 11?
Oh, yeah, by yelling at them.
No, but you're not controlling your other party members in the regular battles of Final Fantasy 12. That's what
you're not. How are you not? I am in my play.
You can micromanage, but there's no need to because the Gambit system allows you to program your AI to where you don't have to do the battle system.
Dude, all the Gambit system does is take care of the mindless bullshit that you don't want to do anyway. It's like an MMO without the bad part.
No, but Final Fantasy 10 and 10-2 prove that battles don't have to be mindless. The regular encounters in those games are fun and strategic, and that is Final Fantasy 12 battles
are not.
Yes, they are.
They bored my shit right out.
Folks, we have new people joining us outside the door. They're reluctant to walk in, so here he comes. Mr. Sam Kennedy, everyone. Mr. Sam Kennedy. Hey, it's air for Sam Kennedy.
But, I mean, I still like the game, but I do think that the battles in Final Fantasy XII are, like, fundamentally less fun.
Hold on a second. Sam, would you tell David to walk the hell in here? What's he doing? He's just, like, lurking out there.
He's a producer. We have another producer walking into the...
That's right.
Here.
Superstar and Ziff Davis alumnus.
And producer now at Foundation 9.
Mr. David Chen.
The show's totally...
And the man who totally helped me get into this business.
That was hug, actually. That poof of air was Geronimo and David Chen.
It's like a party up in here.
Exchanging a warm embrace.
It is a party, but, wait, hey, you want a beer?
Sure.
But you know, Garnet, actually, when the game launches, I know one of Artie's planning a big, giant show where we all debate this in extreme depth. So I think we're all going to go to brass tacks on the Final Fantasy XII battle system in a few weeks. So this isn't really the time and place right now.
This is a prologue.
All right, but look, here's all I have to say about it is it takes care of all the bullshit you don't want to do regularly. You just have it do the bullcrap. You have it do
It's doing the bullshit, but you're still observing it and you're still reprogramming it.
And you have to do all the interesting stuff. You don't have your spells on Gambit, do you?
I have healing on Gambit. That's the first thing you're ever going to do. You can also have...
Whatever. You don't have your nuker on that because you're picking, like, which element to attack against which element, right?
Right. But the regular encounters...
And you have your missed attacks on...
Missed attacks are worthless once you get past the first...
Yeah, they're useless.
Yes, they are, actually, when you get past the first, like, 15 hours of the game.
So are the summons.
They're completely worthless. They're underpowered. They're overpowered initially and underpowered at the end of the
game. Wrong.
No, you're wrong.
Wrong.
You're wrong.
Oh, my God.
Wrong.
Okay, I'm stopping that. That's enough. You're both wrong. Because whatever. You're both wrong.
So I also play...
Kiss later.
I also played Sid Meier's Railroads. Seriously.
That's a game for your demographic.
Fuck off.
Isn't the PS3 launching with a railroad game?
That's called Railfan.
What's it called?
Railfan.
Which I actually played at...
It's another computer train
totally
simulator.
It is totally a computer.
Oh, Jesus.
And, dude, it has live video. They actually videoed the Japan Rail.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's like you're just driving down the... Beyond the conductors.
Someone needs a nap.
Awesome gameplay. Garnet's half a beer in.
So do you play with a single button? It's go, not
you
go.
Just, actually, you just tilt.
You're steering on the tracks.
You have to set the throttle. You have to set the throttle. It's got all these positions.
How the fuck do you play a train game without rumble? That's what I want to know. How do you play a railroad game without the fierce vibration of the tracks underneath
your
fingers?
You have to sit on the controller, yeah.
But you can have this to look forward to. It'll be a very economical game to play because the controller won't have cost you so much.
Moving right along. What have you been playing, Luke?
Oh, I'm still...
He doesn't play games.
I don't...
No, yeah. Last week you liked games again.
I did like games last week again. I liked games a lot recently.
Halo again.
Yeah, no, yesterday I was playing Halo Combat Evolved and Halo 2 at my desk.
Oh, for Christ.
And then I've been playing still... I finally got to play Lego Star Wars again.
Why didn't you just bite the fucking bullet and play Marathon?
It's so hard to look at. Seriously,
is that what's stopping you?
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's just so hard to look at.
I feel that way about Halo.
Hey, Sam, could you come take Scott's headphones? I just threw them off my show.
your show?
Whenever you get a show,
I guess you can do that.
I just took over.
It's his birthday.
It is his birthday.
That's true.
We'll be saying goodbye to Scott Sharkey. I'm kidding. Not really. So I finally got back to Lego Star Wars 2, and that was like after 3 weeks of traveling.
It was a huge hit. It sold like combined 750,000 copies its first month.
Yeah, well, they released a press release the week that it did, the week after it shipped, and said it sold 1.1 million.
Oh wow! So
it
may have shipped it. That's huge.
They did really well. Otherwise, I haven't had time to play a whole lot. I really want to play Final Fantasy 12 though.
It's worth finding the time.
Were you not here that week when I talked about how?
Did I not talk about that
on the air?
Maybe.
How I was really like, I feel like a single player RPG. I'm pretty excited to play
it.
12.
It's good.
And I just got my Burning Crusade beta actually. So I'm about to jump in and unquit from World of Warcraft.
As much as I love Lego Star Wars 2, this kills me with every Star Wars game. It's like, oh god, we got the Lego license. Let's make a racing game. Why don't you build shit out of Legos?
Well, I agree.
I mean, there was that Blockland Freeware thing where you actually go online, you have a bunch of players, and you build shit. Great. Why don't you do that?
I'm a little confused why Lego Star Wars 1 and 2, the whole world isn't made of Legos. I think it should be, especially on
so,
like,
so I'm thinking
next
if
gen.
We ever see Lego Grand Theft, they'll be building stuff with the Legos.
I think it'd be more like Grand Theft Kubrick or something like that.
Cool. That'd be awesome, yeah, because you guys actually have the
what other franchises Kubrick. Would you do with Legos?
We hear they're doing Batman. That's Batman. Yeah. Batman Lego is real.
No, I think he meant what other interesting franchises would you do with Legos?
I think that he meant Batman.
Oh. Hmm. I don't know.
What are you playing, Geronimo?
Oh, man. Well, since we just finished up with Bully, I finally have some time to catch up and get my gamer score a little bit higher on Xbox. And believe it or not, the game I just finished was King Kong.
Wow.
Just because it was easy points.
A little late to the party. Here it is, easy points.
Easy points.
You know, there's a service. You can pay someone to get points for you now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But is it like gold sellers on Xbox
Live?
It's exactly the same thing.
So how do you do that?
I guess you give them your login
it on
info.
A piece.
Yeah, you give them your login info, and then they
pay them like $50 bucks.
They play games, and they get your gamer score up. It's something.
So what I want to pay $60 a year for is to pay somebody else to play games for.
Exactly. So fuck
so what do you think of the achievement system? The game. You're talking about the gamer score up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm totally about high scores. I'm bringing it back.
You're score whoring.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's something just that clicked with me from my youth. You know, about getting the high scores, and I'm just reliving it. So I'm anything that I can get into my Xbox 360 these days. That's what I'm doing.
Easy achievement.
Well, exactly. You're old. What did you think of?
God.
He's still here?
I know.
I'm pretty sure Garnet's older.
Yep.
And proudly so.
You know, I vibed on Geometry Wars. I thought it was pretty cool. That Hexix that comes with the...
That's
all right. Once you get into that, it's a pretty smart
the
game.
The colors are too
it's
close
kind of,
to
kind
me.
Of a chick game, though. Shapes.
You don't like chicks?
Chicks are better at spatial reasoning. It's scientifically proven.
Scientific fact.
Wow.
It is.
I've got two...
Thank you, Dr. Sony.
I've got two little kids at home, so it's, you know... It's easy for the kids to watch me play.
Only 15%
like
of our listeners'
report.
Demographics are females.
Really?
I'm sure it's something really low like that.
I thought it was 12.
It's really low. Maybe
what do you think of the? What do you think of all the Xbox Live Arcade stuff? You do any like the retro stuff on that?
You know, I buy it just because I'm a collector of that stuff. It's there, but it's not what I want next gen. That's not the way I think next gen should be going.
Cool. How do you think it should be going?
Fucking kick-ass games.
You know. You don't think that, you don't think that Pac-Man and HD is fucking next-gen and awesome?
You know, I paid, what, the $5 to get the side panels.
Nice.
Sharky? Playing? You? What you playing?
I'm not playing GTA clones right now, and I'm feeling pretty good about that.
You're over the GTA clones.
No, you're like seven in a row.
You're the go-to guy for GTA clones.
Well, whose fault is that? Did you set them up to that?
No. Skip.
Skip.
You son of a bitch.
Actually, me and Skip.
I liked those before, like, this last month.
What happens is Skip and I actually have a day each week where we sit around and get drunk and decide how to piss you off each week.
Hey, Scott, I heard.
I always suspected.
I heard you're the big reviewer on The Sopranos for us. Just thought I'd put that out there.
You son of a bitch.
I
think you gave me Reservoir Dogs, too,
that,
didn't you?
Absolutely.
So what else?
What was the fucking list here so far? I got Saints Row, I got Scarface, I got
Just
Destroy
Cause.
All Humans. No, I didn't do Godfather.
Cause.
I did a bunch of previews on that. Just Cause.
I'm fuming over here, by the way.
Retrospective on Godfather.
He's not talking about your game as a clown. We'll get to that in a second.
No, that one actually wasn't. That was refreshing. Of course, I'm not doing the review on that. Thank you, Skip.
That was Greg Forth.
You liked it.
Oh, yeah. That's why you can't have me do it.
You lose your reputation, man.
Shane, you have an issue coming out, so you've probably been playing a lot of stuff for review, but what can you talk about?
I've been playing Mortal Kombat Armageddon.
Is that what I've seen you and Brooks
play? That's what
you've
seen me. Yeah, and I've reviewed three Mortal Kombat games, and I'm kind of widely known to be the lowest Mortal Kombat reviewer in the world.
This is like the lowest of the Mortal Kombat games, too.
That would be your tag on Gab.
I'm still playing it, and I haven't really come up with my official score yet, but I think the core fighting game is actually slightly improved this time.
What'd you give the last game?
I gave the last one a 5.
Slightly improved on a 5. Sounds like a buy.
So we'll see.
Come on, how many versions of this game have they thrown out there?
A lot.
Sounds like a day one.
They have a very rabid fan base, very loyal, so we'll see. I've also been playing.
Seriously, I thought Mortal Kombat was something you like didn't cop to playing. It's like wearing Zubas in the 90s. I never touched it.
If you go to the Heartland, you'll find a lot of fans.
Oh, fuck the heart.
All I have to know is, does it still have fatality?
Oh, do you make your own this time? You design your own fatality.
Oh, good. That's exactly the sort of power
I
need.
Like going to
my
game.
I want waffles and a smoke fatality.
Check it out. Pin drop.
Yeah. Other things to review, like the new Dot Hack. It's, more of the same. What else have I been playing? Oh, but last week I got to go play Ubisoft's racing games for Wii. I got to play the 4x4 off-road one.
Did you get to use the wheel?
Did I miss Shane getting demoted because he got all the shit?
For
what the hell?
Yeah.
Well, did you hear the podcast a couple of weeks ago? Did you see the one-up show? Reparations and next one's issue of EGM.
Speaking of that,
we actually could have used you on Retronauts last week. We were talking about how the PS3 is the new N64, and we had like nobody defending it.
Yeah, you guys are idiots. You're all a bunch of idiots. And like, what's funny about these?
There is no answer.
I'm going to get back to those Wii games in a second.
I'm going to get back to these.
What's funny about that one-up show you're talking about? Not the one-up show we were just discussing the next-gen stuff.
Victory.
No, not that one.
Oh,
the one last week we were just discussing.
Oh,
what
that was
we all
a good
thought.
One. That was
yeah,
a great
like
one.
You guys all felt like you owned me.
I didn't say that.
And like, I was so not owned. If anything, you guys were ganging up on me like a bunch of goofy little fanboys yourselves, and I was the voice of reason again.
The voice of reason. I'm excited for Genji.
I am excited. Hey.
Okay. Let's
maybe I'll laugh about some game I've never played and make fun of it because I'm just an asshole. I don't know.
Maybe
that's what I'll do from now on.
That's a good response. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
So about the Wii.
So about these Wii games.
Did you play with the wheel?
I did play with the wheel, and the wheel actually kind of works. It's heavy. It feels kind of fun.
Feels kind of fun.
Yeah. You're like doing crazy shit. You look stupid.
But I dated a girl like that once.
So the 4x4 game is really fun. Actually, you do tricks. It's kind of like SSX. It looks like a GameCube launch game.
It looks that good.
Wow.
The other game, the GT Pro Series, like the serious racing game, it turns out it's cel-shaded. I didn't know that until... I played it for like 5 minutes and didn't notice it was cel-shaded.
Was it good cel-shaded? Was it like Wind Waker, Akami cel-shaded? Or was it, we have a really low poly count, let's try to make this not look like shit cel-shaded.
A little more like Automodelista on a DS.
And then I never thought about
imagining that, but my head just had a train wreck.
It's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah. And that's a PS3 game.
What? No, this is a Wii game.
No, the train wreck.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Real fan.
Cell damage, too.
Yeah, but next week is the big exciting week where we get to play everything for PS3 at the big PS3 event. So
the Gamers Day, we're trying to set something up where we're hoping to bring some sort of special treat.
There are going to be some new announcements, some new titles, things shown for the first time. It's going to be very exciting.
Trying to get some people talking about PS3 and and actually representing.
Representing Sony, maybe. Get Sony's message on here in a reasonable form.
Get Double K.
Gonna bring you some Defender Forces.
Well, it's funny that in the last week, I mean, you know, the PS3 pre-order is becoming available. Just the tone on the internet on message boards has changed because now people, you know, are actually ordering PS3s, and a lot of, you know, the perception has changed.
I think that keynote was so bad it wrapped right around to good again.
Yeah. Possibly.
The circle is now complete.
That's me.
All right. That's a pretty nice way to make it around the horn and get us ready to come back and talk about Bully, which a lot of people have been playing. Skip's been playing it. Scott's been playing it. We're going to bring Brian down from EGM. Brian's been playing it. I've been playing it.
Are we going to bring Brian down, or are we going to bring Kennedy in?
Well, we're also going to bring Kennedy in.
Brian's coming later.
Oh, so we're bringing Kennedy in for this segment. It's like so confusing. It's like round.
It's
round
like a party up in here.
It is like a party up in
but
here.
But on the other side of this, we'll be back.
You're listening to 1UP Yours on the 1UP Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to the 1UP Radio Network. If you know the name of the podcast you'd like to hear, press 1 now. You have selected Radio PM, starring the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. To download an episode at radiopm.oneup.com, press 1 now. To listen to a promo, press 2 now. In a world ripped apart by war, only one magazine.
All right, and we're back and ready to dive into some Bully with Mr. Geronimo Barrera. Got to get something out there right off the bat. We're recording this on Thursday afternoon, and as of right now, there is a court case ongoing in Florida. It's probably pretty high profile. You guys all know about it. There's no reason for us to bring it up. There's no reason for us to go into it. We're not going to get into it because all the man can say is
no comment.
And you don't want to listen to that? We don't want to listen to it, so we're going to talk about Bully. So let's talk about some Bully.
Let's talk about the actual game.
Let's talk about some game.
Well, Sharky's been playing a lot of it.
Yeah, quite a bit. I finally had to give him my copy to the cheats guys, though, so they could make a guide. Yeah.
Well, I dropped the game off, what, a week and a half ago, maybe? Something like that, yeah.
Played the holy screaming shit out of it.
So, awesome. So what's the biggest question, after having played it that much time, that you have for this man right off the bat?
Oh, man. How much of a bitch do I want to be?
As much as you want. He's right there. He can punch you.
Why can I stand on top of a car and just shoot everybody?
With a slingshot.
What part? That you get knocked off of it, or?
I haven't been knocked off, actually. I've managed to pretty much punish everybody with impunity. Occasionally, a cop will throw a gold brick at me.
It's not a gold. It's probably an apple.
No, it's definitely a brick.
Oh.
Yeah, tell him how his game was made.
This is a bad
good start.
It's
a good start right there. Bricker. No, it's definitely not an apple. It's gold brick.
No, but I mean, I mean, me personally, like, and I wrote this in my intro for the cover week that we did on Bully, but it was just like, when I didn't understand the game up until like a couple weeks ago when we first talked, like when you guys gave us the demo and stuff, and I was like, holy shit, I had no idea.
And I mean, that's why I wanted to come out and talk to you guys, you know, when I did, is because we think that we're onto something with Bully. It's real. We think it's really special, and you know, there wasn't the right kind of buzz behind it because we think that we're making the evolution in interactive storytelling with this game.
Well, the buzz that came out had, like, fuck all to do with the game.
Right,
honestly.
Exactly.
It was, they saw the title, they saw who was making it, and they just leapt to this assumption that it was a Columbine simulator.
All right, so I'll go ahead and I'll feed you the easy line up front so you can kind of get that part out there. What do you guys feel is the innovation then? What's the big part that's drawing people?
Well, the innovation for us, it's, you know, we've obviously made a lot of hit games and we've learned a lot, and it was about what can we do next to kind of push our medium. What is the thing that's kind of lacking genre-wise, gameplay-wise, with the games out there? I mean, because everybody's doing Space Marines, everybody now is doing gangsters. What could we bring to the table that was different? And for us, it was you know, the schoolyard.
Right.
How do you bring that experience?
Yeah, and I love that. I mean, it was like, you know, it's
nostalgic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like everybody's been through it, and like it's so crazy that yeah. I mean, no matter what, like you know, I mean, people have been jocks or people are like the bullies or nerds. Who knows what you were back in school or whatever? But it's
I think we've got you pegged pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Crap. Touched on in the
prep. All right, preppy.
Prep. Definite prep. And he lived in Connecticut. Come on. He had the collar turned up.
Hartford, the whale.
Yeah, just sort of affecting a faux accent.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, but I mean, well, like what I was impressed too with was like just the level of interaction with all the characters in the game, and you were saying to me that like the fact that you didn't spend money on like a licensed soundtrack and everything kind of afforded you like the ability to like put in lots and lots of voice talent.
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly. I didn't say it would afford us, but
right.
You know, we had to record, I think, around 100.
In the absence
actors.
Of a radio, there's all this chatter.
Exactly. Right. So, you know, getting 100 actors in there is just, you know, part of the thing that.
That being said, I honestly wish there was a soundtrack available somewhere. It's pretty good.
You know, well,
like
maybe
cuts of some of that.
Sean Lee, who did the music's an amazing guy, and he did a fantastic job with this.
You know, it kind of reminded me like it sounded kind of like Dust Brothers, kind of had that like feel to it. Yeah. Anyway,
he's done some pop stuff.
I thought it was because Skip's been playing it all week, and as I'm walking back and forth to his desk to argue with him and point out different things on the internet, like the music in the game is awesome.
Yeah.
And the music, I don't know that I'm
Chase
Dust
theme, theme is maybe a little
Brothers.
Too porno, but
okay. But wait a minute here. We're getting into a bunch of regular mundane stuff. What's the innovation? What's the nugget of innovation that makes this free world game not another Rockstar free world game, but just on a schoolyard?
Well, I think that what we're doing is what all the academics in our fields have been talking about, which is, you know, how do you get that social interaction in where it makes a difference to the player? He feels like he's part of the world, not just playing the world.
Right, okay.
And, you know, there's...
So riff on that for a minute. What is the part that actually brings that interaction? What did you do specifically to bring the interaction?
Let's start with just for the art in general. We never have generic Ped 8. It's not like we had, here's Ped Head 3, Ped Body 4. It's like every character is a character, has a name, has its own unique, you know, voice acting, you know, mannerisms, things like that. So
walking through the schoolyard, I don't see Jenny 7 times, 8 times.
No, not like you would in, you know.
Right.
In another game.
Right.
In another game. Right.
Yeah. So you're not reasoning that. That's okay. What else do you do to build that bridge?
In terms of you actually go up to them and converse. You go and you lock on with the social system and you can have positive or negative.
Yeah, see, that's the stuff that, like, really, really surprised me, especially when I was, like, watching Sharky play, too.
Yeah.
Like, all the shit where you can, like, yeah, like, how you react, how you interact with them.
Well,
and
how they
all
react.
The, yeah.
I mean, if I'm not wearing any pants, they notice that. And say,
right,
hey,
right.
Nice pants.
Right. And then, like, also, but, like, if you go to classes and you learn skills and stuff like that,
That changes how effectively you can interact, yeah.
And then the fact, like, I was watching Richard play a little bit for our strategy guide, and, like, he was showing me some of the stats screens. Like, you guys are insane. Like,
it was on and on number of pumpkins smashed. Like,
every single thing you do in the game is recorded.
Yep. Yeah. I mean that's how we make our games. I don't see why people wouldn't do that, because it's there and people are interested in it. It's something that you're doing. So if you're going to do it, why not be rewarded for
it? So
I
want to keep on coming back, because I'm going to keep on coming back to this and pushing you on this point. You just said that's how we make our games, and I think that's the part that people are going to look at this game and say, "Well, isn't this just Grand Theft or a Rockstar open world game like The Warriors in a new setting?"
No, I mean, we always push. Even if you went from Vice City or Grand Theft Auto 3 to Vice City, huge jump. Vice City to San Andreas, massive jump. And it's the same thing. We didn't sit around and go,
The Warriors was that GTA-like.
You know,
but it was open world. It was an open world game, and it does have, you know, a whatever mischievous kind of bent to it. It's got
those similarities, but I mean, structurally, it's still a very different game.
Yeah. So when you talk about Bully being a big innovative game, I want to make sure that we talk about the parts that are innovative and not come back to some of the stuff that are more mundane games have.
Yeah. you know, I think with the social system, the story, the writing is incredible in the game. I think our writers did a great job. Dan Hauser and Jakob up in Vancouver. Just
what was the source material for the story? Where did that come from?
Oh, man, from our lives. You know, I mean, we've all been to school. We've all had crazy teachers. We've all had crazy friends, and you know, done interesting things. So
we've all spent a week sleeping on the ground in a carnival lot.
not too far from the truth.
Yeah.
All right, so if that's like how you put it all together, what were the hardest pieces to bring together then? What was the hardest part to put together about the social interaction system? What pushed you beyond what you had done in the previous games?
Making it act right, making the behaviors feel, because we're not driving cars, we're not going 100 miles an hour down a road. You're riding a skateboard, you're on a bike. People have to be more believable in the world. So that was a big challenge for us, is to make sure that they didn't look like zombies, that they looked like school kids.
I had a really great moment. I was I found a bum, and I was pointing the camera at him, and he got really, really pissed off. And as I was backing away, taunting him with the camera, take a picture. Get the hell away from me. But you're following me. It was like that one Wonder Chosen bit. You know, it was perfect. That's what people do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I get the feeling. I get the feeling it's almost like an homage to kind of almost like a John Belushi film. I mean, I was saying while I was watching Skip, you know what? This game gives me a lot of feeling of like Animal House, but with like the bully guys. Does that sort of stuff influence you? What are the influences?
Yeah, I mean, definitely anything from our, you know, from when we were kids that we watched or read.
I see a lot of Fast Times.
Lots of Fast Time. Breakfast Club. For me, it was Degrassi Junior High.
Yeah.
For the UK guys, it's a lot of Grange Hill.
Missed that one.
Yeah, it's tough to find out here. But, you know, our lives were filled with, you know, this sort of drama, if you will. And we thought, well, why can't we do this in games? It just seems natural fit.
Well, but I think the reason people say you can't do that in a game is because it doesn't feel natural. And
wait, what?
Because it doesn't feel natural, right? Because that's what people
because it's
say,
too real?
No, because it comes off mechanical. Because when you try to have social interaction in a game, it inevitably tends to start coming off mechanical. You're the guy who works on games.
Definitely, and I agree with you. And that, like, that's part of the challenge was making sure that when you see the chick that you like and she walks by you, she tracks you, and she might say something about your clothing, and you're going, oh, she's attracted to me, and you run back. And it's like, oh, I happen to have flowers or chocolates or whatever. And talk to her, and she says some things, and it makes sense. The things she says make sense.
Right.
And it fits into what you're playing.
You were kind of telling me that, like, that level of interaction was kind of something that, you know, you were surprised you were able to pull off on the PS2, and it's kind of like that's what you'd expect to see a lot more of on next gen.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're delivering, you know, next gen content on current gen because that's what I expect next gen to be all about.
Because everybody be a lot more intelligent, not just pretty.
No, yeah, everybody's going to be pretty. It's what are you delivering? What's the content? What are you going to experience?
So in that context, then what about Bully is next gen? What's the next gen part of a Bully?
I think it's the part that you are looking at a game that's, you know, being released at the twilight of the PlayStation 2, and it's a whole new experience.
Why isn't that then, though, just the pinnacle of this generation?
Oh, you could say that, too. That's very nice.
Okay. All right. Hey, I mean, you'll take it either way, right?
I think a lot of it where it's so heavy on personal interaction and whatnot. I really hate to say this, but it's a game that passes the girlfriend test. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the
What's
Sims
the girlfriend test?
They'll play it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like The Sims with the opportunity for mayhem. I mean, it's personality driven.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, my wife is hooked to the game, and you know, she's not a hardcore gamer, but there was something there that she found very interesting and addicting, and you know, she's.
Well, I mean, it works for me. I just run around cherry bombing toilets in my underpants. She'll go around talking to all the different cliques and making friends. You know,
right. Did you watch? I mean, girl did stuff. She play it while you guys were under development? Did
oh,
she, like,
no way.
No,
no way.
No,
no way. No. You know, it's bad enough that I take criticism from you guys. Wife, oh, that's something else.
Oh, you didn't want to catch that?
Oh, no way.
Oh, man. How bad could it be?
It could be pretty bad.
All right. So, I mean, one of the things, so we'll finish up on the social interaction system, because one of the most interesting things that I saw, and this is a good place to leave it, is I watched Skip, like, with the girlfriend thing. He, like, flirts with this one girl, gets her going, right, gives her a kiss or whatever, and then goes and flirts with another girl in the hallway at the same time. So what happens is the AI starts the fight between the two girls. How much AI does each of these characters have? How long is that actually going to play out? Like, if we were to leave and walk down the hall, how much is actually going on behind the screens there?
Tons of stuff. Without giving away the secrets of how we do this stuff, obviously.
Gambit system.
A lot of developers Gambit like the show. Yeah. A lot of developers are listening.
You know, we fill the world with stimuli that the AI reacts to, and so you get lots of cool random stuff happening. That makes sense. That's the important part.
How much of it is random, though? I mean, I've noticed I make chicks fight all the time. I like that. I mean, sometimes they'll pull each other's hair. Sometimes they'll kick each other in the ovaries. Sometimes they'll kick me in my generative organs.
Or you'll get slapped.
Or slapped to the flowers. Right. Or, yeah, is that random, or is that based on
random,
like, prior experience?
I'm confused. Is that Sharky's real life, or was that was that Bully? That's next gen. Yeah.
That's half a dozen things happening for a very small part of the game. So you can, right there, you can tell, like, how immense it really is, because...
Well, it makes me wonder, though. I mean, is that random, or are there, like, factors that determine
There's some factors on, like, what size the girl is compared to Jimmy, all this sort of kind of nerdy stuff, but it's, overall, it's...
Like, if she's a top or a bottom?
No.
I mean, I'm just saying...
We're not going to go there.
Yeah, you have to wait until the hot chocolate mod.
Hey.
Nice.
And the interview's over. Stormed on.
Actually, he kept that part really, really tame. So if I'm understanding correctly, all you can do is kiss him, right?
Yeah, you can kiss him. When you
kiss a little...
Oh, that's not very representative of my middle school experience.
I'm about to say,
you know, if you can get all the way to art class 5, you know, or, oh my
God.
It's not
full. If only it was videotaped, huh, Garnet? You like to see that on there.
Only it was videotaped. Yeah. Power move.
It gets as raunchy as a 15-year-old's going to get raunchy.
Well, we had very 15-year-old experiences.
Well, Garnet's 15-year-old experiences back in the 30s. Shane's not here.
It was the roaring fucking 30s.
Was she roaring?
Oh,
is that a good thing?
Yeah.
This is actually something I wanted to ask about, though. I mentioned this.
This is the first time.
Geronimo, for the first time, just looked back at Bruce, who's here from Rockstar.
My handler.
His handler. That sounds kind of cool. And looked at him as if he was going to say something, and Bruce actually shook his head and went, like, do not fucking jump in the middle of that pool.
Wait, Bruce was 15, pretty good for you too, buddy? I don't know.
Well, this is what 15-year-olds are like, and I'm glad you didn't treat it with two, you know, kid gloves.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not offensive or anything, but that's what they are. I mean, I said this in the preview. It deserves a Newbery Award. I mean, if they gave those to games.
Thank you very much. That's a great compliment.
Suck up.
Yeah, Jesus. Get the pliers.
Well, he's hitting on something, that there's something very human about this game, and something endearing that, you know, it's something that's people have experienced but never, you know, in a game.
A million years in the future, when we're all brains in vats and they have required playing lists instead of required reading lists, yeah, I think this would be like Catcher in the Rye.
Hopefully.
Talking about when you talk about how this game is like next gen on current gen technology? I mean, what is a next gen? We'll go ahead and start into like that maybe a little bit. What does a next gen game need to be? How does Bully represent like what the direction needs to be for that stuff?
You know, I don't want to bash people's games, obviously.
Well, that's actually what we were already for you to do, because next gen sucks.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, you know, one of the things I think is that you shouldn't have to read.
Reading sucks.
That's right. It's overrated. It's way highly overrated.
No, Catcher in the Rye comparison doesn't matter.
No, but you know, I think you have to deliver more than what's being done on PS2 or, you know, Xbox or GameCube.
Right. So, what you're saying is, like, you know, in a lot of those games, you have your occasional cutscene or whatever, and then when you get into the gameplay, the next person you talk to is, like, text.
Yeah.
Text boxes.
It's got to be seamless, man. It's got to go from cutscene to gameplay. It should all blend into one.
The only thing it really did get to me is as much as social interaction is important in the game, the storyline is still very linear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, this isn't Fable or Black and White or, you know, anything Molyneux got his dick in. It's actually...
Hi, Peter.
Still goes straight in a line.
We're still buddies, man.
It is somewhat straight in a line. It's up to the player to figure out what he has to play and what he doesn't have to play. Mm-hmm. But the thing that we did is we wanted to have a really strong narrative because we wanted the, like, when you're a kid, the world revolves around you, man. And in Bully,
when you're a kid,
well, yeah, we wanted the player to make sure he wasn't lost in the world. You know, we needed them to know that they were at what part of the story they were in, what was going to happen next, how they can plot that out. So it was important to us to make sure that the story not only made sense and was cool and fun, but that it was always within walking distance, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If for people who play the game know what I'm talking about.
One other thing I wanted to ask, actually, does the game doesn't have a PC release, does it?
You mean a politically correct version?
No, I mean like a personal computer.
No.
How much of that is worry about modding? I remember when I was playing game, and I said, well, how long until somebody puts a little porn in there?
No, you know, the thing for us is that we put all the resources of Rockstar Vancouver on this thing because early on we said, wow, this thing's cool. Let's make this really cool. And so, you know, we allocated every single person we had available to this game. You know, we even brought guys from the Warriors team over to help us out. And, you know,
well, you guys were originally going to do an Xbox version. I mean, what happened with that?
Same thing, man. It's all about focus. And you know, do you want to get something really cool and proper, or do you want to spread out your man hours? And it was all about focus.
And I mean, the Xbox only sold 8,600 units in September, so it's versus like 300 and some thousand for PS2. So economically, it necessarily doesn't make sense to develop for the Xbox, considering the bailout of support.
What? Oh, I mean, I'm a big fan of the 360. So,
well, it's all that's available right now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's right. So I want to talk about, because one of the things is Bully's coming out extremely late in the PS2's life cycle. It's coming out sort of as like one of the last gasps for the PS2. You've got Bully, Final Fantasy 12. And God of War? Am I forgetting anything major?
That's pretty much it.
I mean, that's sort of it. So what is going to...
Don't worry, you'll get raped on the forums in about 10 minutes.
What's going to dictate success for Bully, for Rockstar, and for you guys?
Well, first of all, that's good company to be in, I think. And if you can achieve the level that those guys are achieving, you're definitely...
With a game that doesn't have a huge number at the end.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Wait, and original IP? Holy shit.
You know, for us, it's the passion of making these games, and it just happens that we started doing this thing on the PlayStation 2, and that's what we wanted to do.
Well, How much pressure was there to... You know, that's something that happens a lot of time in a game like this. It's coming towards the end of a life cycle of one. How much pressure was there to maybe jump ship and go to the next generation of consoles?
Obviously, you know, we would joke about it, you know, but, you know, PlayStation 2 is an awesome machine, man. You know, we were there at the beginning. We want to be there at the end. I still, you know, pick up games for it when I find cool stuff. It's an amazing machine.
And your team was definitely had a lot of players who had worked hard on PS2, right?
So you had guys. They were a PC developer.
Really?
That's right. Yeah, they were like the barking dog guys. Yeah.
So how did they get molded into it? That's pretty bizarre. How did you mold them into a PS2 development group? There were some rough waters there for a little while, right?
I mean, there's rough waters no matter what you do for anything.
Tough decisions, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, the thing is that, you know, like I said, we brought over some guys from Toronto, from our Toronto studios that worked on the Warriors. We used the Grand Theft Auto engine. You know, we got help from the North guys. New York, who heads up most of our productions, did an amazing job with the music, the dialogue, you know, recording the voice actors. It was a group effort.
Warriors has come up a couple of times. What did you pick up in Warriors that moved over and, like, helped Bully become a better game?
The combat system.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hi, Sam Kennedy, now employee of Rockstar Games. I'm going to let Geronimo answer, okay?
No, definitely the combat system and just general, like, control system, things like that. And, you know, the Vancouver guys, Rockstar Vancouver, you know, they brought, you know, their own expertise into this pie. And, you know, that was some of their animation systems, things like that, you know, low-level things that really helped bring this game to life, so.
Was that the sort of stuff that the PC guys were struggling with, or where was the exchange there?
No, I don't, PC guys weren't never struggling with anything, because this thing was never a PC thing. It's, you know, we signed them on, we're going to do console games.
All right.
PS2 is a pretty familiar development platform, too. I mean,
at this point, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you were doing this for, what, PS3, it's, what the fuck do you do with six processors?
For the 4% of our listeners who don't know when your game's shipping, what are the details on your game?
Bully will be in the stores on October 17th, which is this coming Tuesday.
So now let's transition away from Bully and let's just talk about the game industry. Because we're all gamers. So let's talk about video games.
Sure.
So, Geronimo, I'd like to hear how you feel about the game industry right now. As far as, you talked a little bit earlier about providing a next-gen experience on a current-gen console. So let's talk a little bit about those next-gen experiences. What's working and what isn't working in next-gen gameplay?
You know, I think it's everything looks cool. You know, there's nothing that I've bought or played that I was like, oh, man, this looks like crap.
Well, and except for Pac-Man.
Multiple million dollars making transparent earlobes on Tiger Woods, then it better look good.
You know, but what I think is not working is the material. It's just not interesting. And I think that's where what we want to do, and it's what we wanted to do when we started Rockstar, was let's do interesting stuff that we want to play, you know, as gamers, you know, and, you know, I think we're doing it, but. I don't want to play the 13th version of something.
Right. I mean, but like, how about like development on like next gen and stuff too? Because I mean, I remember you told us back in the day, you were like, yeah, the with the PS2. Remember, there was like all this, like all the developers were bitching about, you know, trying to program on it, and you had that like famous quote back in OPM. You gave us that, you know, it's like what usually happens is the people complaining are the ones who are talking shit, you know, about the hardware and stuff, and you know, like, is that the same?
It's exactly the same thing, man. Is, you know, if you are having trouble and your game's going sour or whatever, you're going to bitch about the system. Yeah. But, you know, am I the only person that's excited for PlayStation 3?
I am. Luke isn't, but...
I'm definitely not.
I'm not excited for a 17-pound, $600 brick with fucking Genji as a launch game. Next year, in 2007?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's going to take some time, but...
But that was PS2.
Yeah, I mean, look at the second generation...
That's Xbox 360.
Next generation stuff looks amazing.
Yeah.
There's actually innovation happening, and that's the exciting part.
Where do you see that innovation happening? How would you like to be involved in a project that fits into that innovative spectrum?
Like I said, I think a lot of it's going to be with AI, and you know, the worlds look real, they feel real, but do they act real? And I think that's the real key for next gen developers.
I don't think we're really seeing enough of that. I mean, you're seeing
not at all.
You have a dragon, it's Warhawk, it's really pretty now. You know, that's most of it. I mean, pretty much the only game I've been really looking forward to next year is BioShock, and that's just because it's AI centric.
Mm-hmm. There's some themes in Bully that are like intimacy. Like one thing you're talking about, you can walk around the entire world, right? So that's a big difference from like the Grand Theft series, because you can't walk around that whole world.
Oh, right? You could.
But I mean, it's not a setting that has that same sense of intimacy, that same.
Right. It doesn't have to be sprawling. You can actually get to know every little bit of it.
Right. And you also starting to work in like a big chunk of morality, right? That was important to you. That's part of that. How does that project, like, what your creative direction is? What kind of creative direction do you guys want to take as you move into next generation?
Oh, I don't want to give away too much, obviously.
Nobody listens to this show. It's just a little podcast.
You know, thanks, Garnet.
Like I said, I think that, you know, we're definitely going to outpace Hollywood in a lot of ways. And because we have...
How do you want to outpace Hollywood?
I just think we're making things that are more interesting, and people... I mean, for value-wise, a game at $60 is only, what, $30 more than going to the movie with your girlfriend?
Okay.
So there's value there.
That's still a lot of money,
though.
Depends
on the girlfriend, really.
Right? $30 more? I mean, it's like double, right?
Yeah, but you're versus 2 hours versus 60 hours of gaming. It's bang for your buck.
Well, depends on what kind of movie it is.
And again, depends on the girlfriend.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You got to hit it hard.
Yeah. No, but
how else are you going to outpace Hollywood? What are the parts, what are the vulnerabilities in Hollywood? Where are you going to be outpacing them? Story,
I think it's a new way of delivering the story. I think with visuals will be basically we'll match them with.
I thought last gen was the Toy Story quality visuals gen.
Somebody told me that too.
It's just like Jurassic Park.
I was sure it was going to be Toy Story on PS2. What's
hey man, I got fed that line with the PlayStation 1.
The question around then is how do you think about it?
Africa is the future.
Games
don't even start.
Games art or not art?
Absolutely art.
Why are they art?
Because there's guys killing themselves to make this stuff.
Well, there's guys killing themselves.
That's it. OneUp.com, art. Guys yeah, are killing themselves to make it.
Sam Kennedy, hardest working guy I know. So obviously
yeah, but you guys, you guys have passion and you believe in what you do, and it's the same sort of thing. And it's sad when you do see games that are market driven and
you mean turds
or whatever. And I think it for us, it's just we can't think of anything else we'd rather do. I mean, what else would I be doing?
Yeah.
So you've got high vision. You've got this, we want to build more intimacy. We want to build games that challenge Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. Except you have what I would say, and I think a lot of people would throw out there as a big hurdle to overcome, which is as soon as you hear the word Rockstar, immediately you guys have this like brick wall thrown up in your face.
Stigma. That's the word I would use.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we get it all the time. Media people come and talk to, we were talking about this when we were walking up the street a little while ago. People come up to us and they ask us about a Rockstar game. The first thing they start asking is, how violent is it? How's it going to be the downfall of civilization? How many babies are going to be ruined and have no life and future because of this game? What's it like having this creative vision? How do you guys deal with that on a day-to-day basis when you have this stuff you want to do?
We still sell loads of our product. We still make stuff that's cool and fun. And the people who play it realize that we're not making Columbine simulators.
Right.
We're not making whatever.
But how difficult is it for you to then maintain your creative vision knowing that people are going to come at you right off the bat, knowing that people are going to be asking you the same stupid questions they've been asking you for, however many years?
It's just one of those things that you just have to deal with. I think as we, this industry is growing up, the people who, like for me, the first console system was a Atari in the living room. And now my kids, they're playing GameCube. And it's just a matter of time before, the old, don't judge a book by its cover gets turned to don't judge a game by its cover. It's going to happen.
I guess being old, I've heard that expression a long time. When's that really going to happen? I mean, I've heard that for a long time. When do you think that's going to happen?
It's going to happen in our lifetime if that's the kind
probably
of
probably when I'm
you're
your age.
What do we need? What does the game business need to do to grow up?
We have to wait for the previous generation to die.
Working on it. Yeah. Garnet Lee, ladies and gentlemen.
You'll beat me there.
Probably.
I think it needs to be accepted. You guys obviously are on the forefront of, seeing what's coming out, and you realize that, this stuff is legitimate art. And it's only going to be a little while before, you can discuss a game over dinner.
Right. The thing is the art discussion is such a non-issue. Yeah. It was something that was brought up by a judge saying, well, it doesn't communicate ideas, so it's not protected by the First Amendment. Well, why the hell are you trying so hard to get rid of it if it can't communicate ideas?
Right. I was just at a conference this afternoon, and one of the panels was about mainstream media, New York Times, et cetera. They were editors from these papers who were talking about how or writers for these papers who were talking about how their editors don't understand games at all, and that's their biggest challenge. So getting any coverage in these papers is tough for them because no one understands games over there, and they're just kind of waiting until, give it 5 years or whatever, and then they'll be running the show over at the New York Times or whatever, and then finally we'll get proper games coverage in the mainstream media.
So we just hope that happens before they find a cure for death.
So I have a question. If there comes a time when, in heaven forbid, when Rockstar ceases to exist and development companies come and go, we're going to talk about one that disappeared in the next, or is disappearing in the next segment, what should Rockstar's legacy be to, one, your average consumer, and two, your hardcore gamer?
Wow, that's a amazing question. What should be our legacy? That we made stuff that was fun, because that's what we do. Bottom line, we're no different than Nintendo in the sense of, you know, the we want to make fun stuff. We just happen to have our own ways of doing it, and we hope that people appreciate that. So, you know, we want to have the same notoriety as the Squaresofts or the Konamis or whoever.
Okay.
Are you taking that? No, I mean, that's pretty.
If you want to pounce, Garnet.
I don't want to pounce so much as I just want to say
Squaresoft is notorious.
How many game designers aren't going to say, hey, you know what? We'd like to make people know that we made something, you know, that was fun. I mean, I've heard everybody from Japanese designers to European designers say the same thing. What do you really want your legacy to be? I mean,
here's the thing. Like, the reason I guess I wouldn't object too fucking profoundly is because video games are supposed to be fun. So,
they are
actually, interestingly.
No, they're not. I mean, a lot of the games I really enjoy, take the Silent Hills or whatever, those aren't fun. They're definitely engaging, and they definitely make you feel something. But they're not fun.
I was talking to Inaba from Clover at TGS, actually, and he was I asked him, like, you know, so, you know, you look at a game like Akami, it's art. It's like you guys are really pushing.
I mean, it's the same thing with films. You don't want Shawshank Redemption Yeah.
No. But I asked him. I was like, do you want Clover, like, going forward, what should a Clover game be? Should it be considered art, or is that what you're trying to, you know, is that the message? And he's like, no, I want our games to be considered fun.
How about this? What points would you like people to remember? What high points would you like them to take away? When they think about Rockstar, what image?
We're not there yet.
All right,
that's good. Yeah.
Is it better to burn out than fade away?
So then what do you want to create in the next gen? What do you want to create in the next gen that people will see then? I mean, like, so it's no secret that obviously there's going to be another Grand Theft game. What kind of stuff might theoretically potentially be considered for that?
You know, I would love to talk about it, but I can't.
Right. There ain't no fucking court case about that shit.
Bruce just bit his lip in the corner, and there's fucking blood streaming from the corner of his mouth.
Yeah. You know, I just, you know, we just have to be taken seriously. That's the bottom line. And I mean this in terms of normal media, you know, the mainstream media, right, is, you know, we're the same, you know, take, you know, what if Bully was a TV show or a book?
Okay.
Right? You know, how would that
be
different?
Well, I mean, that's the thing about Bully. It's like, you know, when we talk about games that appeal to a wider audience, I think that is one of them that has the potential there, because it's like, I mean, that's a subject that everyone's gone through. Everybody's been to school. I mean, as opposed to, like, other stuff like, you know, other art. Well, I mean, to me, Bully is kind of an RPG, and it's like, instead of fighting dragons and whatever space monsters and whatever, and like all these other ones with like spiky hair characters, here's a game where you're actually playing through school, which is a subject everyone's been through in their lives.
When you're taking a realistic subject like that, right, though, it must be a lot harder to deal with suspension of disbelief. I mean, you don't have to deal with that in Final Fantasy. It's already out there. No, but I mean, if you're talking about a school,
but I mean,
you have a lot more expectations.
Maybe, but I mean, that's something that, like, anybody can pick it up and actually, like, want to play around with, no matter what. I mean, even if you didn't really get into the game or whatever, but you could at least pick it up.
You can relate to it.
You could relate to it, yeah.
All right, so we brought this thing all the way back around to Bully. We're getting ready to wrap it up here. Let's let you take it out with this. What's the biggest part of, like you've been developing this game? How long have you been developing Bully?
Bully's been in development around 4 years.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm shocked, Sam Kennedy.
From conception to...
Wow.
You know, release.
So we've seen a lot of cool shit watching it. Definitely, you know, I like the girlfriend thing. These guys have seen plenty of stuff. What's the, over the 4 years, what's the coolest thing that you've seen? What's the one thing you saw that you wish you could have worked out but didn't work out in making the game? And what's the biggest regret from having made it?
Probably that thing Sharky was talking about, getting on top of the car and getting the golden brick thrown at you.
I didn't even know there was a golden brick in the damn thing. No, seriously.
You know, this started off as an idea that a lot of people got excited about early on, and, you know, a lot of people were like, didn't understand it. But I think the final product is something very special that, you know, we feel is going to evolve this industry. And to us, that's the ultimate, because that's what we've done with Grand Theft Auto, you know, and, you know, it just shows that, you know, we want to keep pushing. We need to keep pushing, and it's going to drive us, you know, further into the future. Next gen stuff, it's going to it's all coming together for us.
How long do you think until THQ announces a high school simulator?
Ouch. Oh, nice. Man. Thank you.
Yeah. Go big or go home, bitches. You want like a year?
What do you think? I don't know.
They're faster than
I mean,
that.
Did you guys feel that you, like, I mean, you announced it, whatever, E3 2005 or whatever, but I mean, did you feel like, and then you had to go silent about it? I mean, was that too early or?
No, it was actually, we thought, it being a new IP, we wanted to, you know, hey, this is what's coming out in the future. Just give you a little taste of it.
Right.
And then we got down to business and finished the game, and that took a little
while.
Right,
but like when you announced it, everybody just kind of jumped to conclusions or came up with assumptions and all that, and like that kind of, I mean.
No, hopefully they get some
egg on their face. It's a pretty knowing smile the man has there, would you say?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, people are interested in it, and they're going to draw conclusions on it, and we can't control that. Just like how they play a game in an open-world game, you can't really
control it. That sounds almost Machiavellian. Do you think you were counting on that?
No, not at all. I mean, we really thought that we, you know, whatever, we'd announce it, it'd be cool. People would, oh, yeah, we get it. But obviously...
They didn't. Yeah.
So, do you want to do something?
But you guys get it, right?
Yes.
Get what?
We'll see.
Hey, we'll say that.
I like you play games.
We'll say that definitely as we're wrapping this thing up, man. I appreciate you coming in.
Do you want to talk about video games? You want to do the news?
I can sit in. I don't know if I'll say anything.
Well, I mean, you got to participate if you got a headset on. Yeah. So, can you commit to talking about the news, or do we need to give your headset to someone who will?
Probably.
Bruce looks at Bruce. Bruce is checking his BlackBerry. Yeah. Seeing if dinner reservations are confirmed. Where are we going, Bruce? It's my birthday. He didn't give an answer.
He's got a date, okay? God, give the man a break.
All right.
Anyway, so Sam, are you staying for news?
I can.
Sam will stay for news.
All right, well, we're kicking Sharky off for Mark McDonald then, because Mark likes Halo.
Fuck you sideways.
All right.
Adams looking motherfucker.
So before you get gone, for this segment alone, we appreciate you coming down and doing this segment with us. Stick around for the news, and we'll be back for that in just a minute.
Hey, kids! Podcasts are here. You've been hearing about podcasts? You like podcasts? You've been reading about podcasts? Well, we got a podcast. Jeff, don't we got a podcast?
We do have a podcast.
CGWRadio.1up.com.
What's that? One of those URL things?
Podcast.1up.com.
Whoa!
You can also get it at the iTunes Music Store.
Whoa!
You're listening to One Up Yours, part of the One Up Radio Network.
All right, we're back and ready for some news. And Luke, I understand you're going to start us off on kind of a sad note.
Well, I mean, I said last segment that next gen sucks, but current gen sucks too. Because Clover Studios, who just put out Okami, has been dissolved and is disappearing into the ether.
You know, man, I was on vacation, and one thing I made a point to do was to go to EB to buy a copy of Okami. And what do I get for it?
Nothing.
So I've heard a couple of things about this. Like, one, there was that rumor going around about Inaba leaving Clover a few months ago.
Right.
And I was actually talking to Brandon Sheffield, who works over at Gamma Sutra today, just about this very thing. And he had talked to him recently, too, and kind of his sort of theory on this is that Inaba, who for people who don't know, is the producer behind a lot of Clover's games, Beautiful Joe, Okami, pretty much all of the majors, that he was leaving and that this is their way of sort of saving face or what have you. But, I mean, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, maybe it's a Japanese way of doing things, but I would think even if they have a major defection like that, that they would keep the name because they have such a cachet. They definitely don't have the sales.
Right.
Because when they took over, it was not even Beautiful Joe 1, it was Beautiful Joe 2, and it was every other one after that. And then really, they haven't hit it big with any of their titles yet. They do have the critical success, they have the name cachet, they have the respect.
So what's the name cachet if they haven't hit it big?
Well, the name cachet is they make great games even if they don't
sell. To us.
Right. Even if they don't sell well. But us, who the critics. So critically acclaimed, not potentially publicly popular. The other thing is they have two really big names still with them that I'm assuming are still within Capcom.
Who?
Still kind of word hasn't happened. So Mikami, Shinji Mikami, who's the Resident Evil guy, and Hideki Kamiya, which is the director of Okami, Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry, Beautiful Joe, like the unsung hero of the game industry.
I read today somewhere on the interwebs that both of those guys were gone and that Takeuchi was producing RE5 on NextGen.biz, I believe is where I read it.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all, like, if because they left, or maybe they left because they were closing the studio.
The big question is, what's going to happen with the Clover team? Are they going to, like, just get, like, absolved into...
What it sounds like is going to happen is that the Clover Studios group, that division is...
Or are they just going to start their own thing?
They're going to start their own thing and make their own games outside of the Capcom.
Or better yet, here's the bigger question. How many times can you kick a developer in the nuts and say, you know, we know you poured your soul into this game and made this awesome game and it's fun and beautiful and all that, but you know what? No one really wants to buy it, so fuck you. I mean, you're a designer or producer, right?
Right.
Dude, if you were in this situation, how would you feel having poured your life into all these games? How much can a producer and a team take?
Well, those guys make good stuff. I don't think they'll have trouble.
But the thing is, they won't have trouble finding it, but what do you do next? Yeah, what do you do next, and how do you sell a fucking game? Like, how do you sell a name?
You sell a product, I don't understand.
Because obviously part of the reason that the Clover Studios was dissolved is because the development cost doesn't outweigh what they're making back. That's got to be a huge part of it for
Capcom.
We're making all kinds of assumptions.
Maybe it was that Inaba wanted to leave. I mean, the Clover comes out of Mikami and Inaba, who are very close, both wanting to kind of get real credit for what they were doing. So they created this, like, company within a company for Capcom.
Right.
So maybe they felt like they weren't getting the creativity. You know, they weren't being allowed what they wanted to do. Maybe, I mean, we don't know. They might have left.
They may just be, like, reining it in a little bit now. Like, Capcom reining it in. Like, kind of like what Sega did with all their studios. Like,
it might have been
reining it in does not scribe what happened to the sales numbers that we all have talked about how bad they were for Okami in Japan. The game did not sell in its home territory.
So it might have been a case of Capcom starting to put pressure, like, hey, look, we gave you guys creative license before. You didn't hit the numbers, so now we're going to exert a little more control. And they said, you know what? Screw you. We'll go do our own thing. There's people who will pay us, and there are, to make games. Like Shinji Mikami, if he has left, Hideki Kamiya, if he has left, and Inaba, if he's left, there are people who will
pay them money. What's it feel like? Do you know guys who have worked on teams that have gotten their teeth kicked in?
Of course. That happened to me early in my career. And so
what was it like? So what was the game, first of all?
I'm not going to say, but...
All right. What was it like?
Japan, Forever Man.
It was Oni. You know he was on Oni.
The interesting part about Clover, though, is their games were critically acclaimed, but sort of sales didn't quite match up.
Man, I'm going to judge from the eyes that Oni might have been close to the heart.
No. I think what these guys will do is they'll find another home. You know, they're passionate about what they do, and if they're not being supported, they'll find people to support them. I mean, the stuff they make is pretty amazing, so it's...
Right.
I don't think gamers have to worry.
Right.
So if you really care about what you're doing and you're on the right track, then you can get kicked in the teeth.
It's part of life.
So who picks these guys up? Who are these guys making games for going forward?
Microsoft.
Mistwalker.
What, they become their own thing?
Right.
Yeah, they can farm out to anyone. Q Entertainment.
And then you get someone like Microsoft to, like, fund their next game.
Yuji Naka. Like, the Japanese game industry used to be like much of, you know, Japanese companies where it was like, you're in it for life.
Right.
It's only just now. I mean, it's nowhere not like it is, like, in America where you're a hired gun, you move from place to place. But it's becoming much more now where, hey,
it's the trend now.
Yeah, move off, break, just form your own studio.
Mm-hmm.
Next. Gamers, I don't even know this website existed before this week. I guess that's how out of touch I am with the internet, which is a little alarming.
Gamers, or Sony's PS3 ad campaign.
Yeah.
Better. I'm glad you made the point instead of me. Gamers have cracked the Play Beyond website. That website was apparently a viral piece of marketing where there are a bunch of letters splashed on a screen. And Sam, you love the PS3. Come on, hold on a sec.
Yeah, but not Play Beyond, whatever.
And you'd click on a bunch of these letters in order.
Welcome Chang.
And you would end up getting, like, new assets for, like, Resistance or Lair. So are you excited, Garnet? Did you get your Lair desktop theme today? You really like that game at TGS. Did you get a desktop theme? Supporter.
Next.
Next.
More PS3. The story says PS3 pre-orders begin tomorrow. I guess that was earlier this week. But
yeah.
There was Mark.
Mark was in line.
Mark was in line. And
no,
not,
wait, wait.
Not
first in line.
Yeah, Mark, not
correction.
Yeah, Mark was not in line. Mark was the line.
It could not have gone off more perfectly. Like, let me just real quick go through this. Because me and Brian planned this thing out 5 o'clock the night before when we heard about it, when everybody did. We were calling the EBs. We were doing all that stuff. We were like, all right, how are we going to do this? We're like, all right, you know, we wait in line tonight for the pre-order. We don't wait in line the day of the launch. So it's worth it to get up early. So how early are we going to get up? I told Brian, like, what's the earliest you think we should get up? He's like, the earliest you would be in line, you'd expect anyone to get in line. He's like, 5 o'clock. I'm like, all right, then we're going at 4 o'clock. And so But right at 11:30, I call him. I'm like, no, 5 o'clock. I got to get another hour. We get up at 5 o'clock. We get there. 15 minutes later, the next guy shows up in line. So we nailed it perfectly. The other part that was perfect was Shane and other fucking Johnny Come Latelys were going to wake up and call us and be like, hey, is the line long? And if not, they're going to get in line. And we were like, I'm just going to piss me off if there's only 3 of us in line. And they stroll up at 9:30 and just, you know, jump in. Didn't happen. Shane came by, worried sort of look on his face, kind of frantic, a little sweating in the morning. And line was like 35 people long.
You know,
so it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, perfectly sort of. You know, he didn't call me.
We called. Damien was there.
Maybe
your roommate.
Yeah.
Should have woken you up.
You should talk about that way, maybe, with your boy.
You would have been there?
Are you kidding? That's a fucking... Mark. That is an I.O. That's an investment opportunity.
Honestly.
An I.O.
All right.
Damien said we when
he
came.
I think he made an I.O. error.
I thought it was with you.
Yeah. Intihar was pissed. He was pissed.
I thought it was Shu.
Yeah, that's EGM Lives, Brian Intihar.
So, Geronimo,
Shu wasn't so happy.
Are you going to get one?
Well, I didn't get in line, and I already have all my buddies calling up. Hey, man, I know you got some connections. I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah, so, if you're going to get one, how are you going to get one? Day one.
I don't know.
You do have the connections, don't you?
I don't have connections.
More importantly, how are you going to get your day one PS3 replaced?
Oh, come on.
I went there, but I'm telling you, January, we'll have Mark on the show to explain to us how he got his PS3 fixed.
After it overheated.
Another thing that PS3's got to fix, they're starting to fix, is their online strategy. And we reported last month that Xfire was going to be doing something with PS3 Online because of an earnings report. And Sony sort of emphatically denied that they were doing anything.
Sort of emphatically, meaning
yeah,
emphatically
all right,
denied
SOE
it.
SOE called me in a fucking huffy, throwing a hissy fit, the likes of which I hadn't heard since the week before his podcast, about how the story is totally fucking wrong. It's totally untrue, and you can't publish that. Pull it. And we said, you know, very kindly, to eat a dick.
What's up, Smoke? Fire?
And it turns out that Xfire, my good friends over at Xfire, are making a software development kit for the PS3 Online that's gonna allow for the bridging of the gap for games and Sony's online service.
I think
service.
A tone should play right now that is the Luke is right tone. We'll have to get on that, but we'll figure something out. Not that one.
Actually,
we need a new tone.
I actually am ready for the t-shirts to be made. I'm ready for someone to design a Luke was right t-shirt, and I'm ready to sell it.
But the t-shirts, how's that going to work on the podcast there?
I'm just going to sell it from lukeums.oneup.com.
Yeah, but you hear, yeah. If you can't see right now, Luke is pointing at the Luke was right t-shirt.
Yeah, so Xfire is making middleware for the PS3, and so is GameSpy, because Full Auto 2 is going to be using GameSpy middleware.
Well, and the good news is everybody who's played PC games loves GameSpy middleware.
Well, no, the good news is that everyone who wants to play PS3
online... That was pretty
damn
sarcastic. Skip's looking at me.
...is going to be doing it through a variety of different methods, which some people are trying to spin as being excited about, but for me, it's a little bit discerning.
Yeah.
It's a little bit concerning that you're going to have, like, 8 different... or however many different middleware providers providing your online experience, and your gateway to that sounds like it's going to be whatever the hell Sony's online is. And I'm sure next Thursday, when we're at the Gamers Day, we're going to learn a ton more about this, but it's still extremely concerning.
Does that matter, though, Geronimo? Like, should that be a concern?
No.
Why not? What does matter as far as online connectivity for consoles?
I love online. I, you know, definitely is the future, but I'm still playing single player games. So to me, it's not so important that there's an MMO because there's wow out, you know, or whatever you're into.
Right.
So it's not necessarily, you know, it's not like all of a sudden all the WoW players are going to jump on board and go, oh, there's something.
But from what you know of PS3, should people be concerned about PS3's online problem? No.
They'll do something cool.
Why not? What makes you so confident in that?
Have you been playing the PlayStation 2 for the last how many years?
Yeah, not online, dude. I bought the modem. Don't use it.
No, but
that was because everything came on. Like you had to like get the hard drive.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Get the modem and all that kind of crap.
It's just kind of standard now all going to happen.
But I mean, isn't it kind of crazy that a game like Tony Hawk, which was like, you know, when it came out on PS2, that was like the big deal. It's online and everything. And then now the PS3 version won't have online.
Neutered.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of the stuff we've been hearing sort of piecemeal is that developers are kind of having trouble coming to grips with the PS3 online, and they're not exactly forthcoming. And we of course, haven't heard exactly how online works. They did a little run-through in Tokyo, but it was very basic, and a lot of real basic questions still remain to be answered. Well, and the Tony Hawk thing just kind of added fuel
to
that fire.
Crazy.
But remain to be answered a month and a week before launch.
Well, I mean, okay, let's be fair. There was no Xbox Live until a year after the system shipped. Online wasn't a part of Microsoft's
first generation
console. Right, but I'm saying, like, let's be reasonable.
Right.
You know, Sony is sort of allowing us to see that there are going to be other options for developers. Xfire said that there are going to be lots of other Xfire said, we have a bunch of games that we haven't announced yet. They're going to include our technology. Like, let's be reasonable.
All right, well, let's just move on.
This is probably, I mean, in the time that I've been at 1UP, I think this is probably my favorite story that we've put in news. So if you haven't seen this story, please go read it. It's called The State of Wii Pre-Orders Across the Nation. And Dan Dormer, one of our freelancers, called EB Games or GameStops in every single state in what is the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I've sort of picked some of my personal favorite states that I want to run through. Calling different store employees.
I want to hear Alaska, and I want to hear Hawaii.
Okay, Alaska. Let's start with Alaska. That's GameStop number 1703 in Alaska.
You just got the manager fired.
About the state of this is about the Wii pre-orders, which start today.
Yeah.
If you're listening by now, it's too late. You're not getting one. Sorry. I have no idea. Soon? That's Alaska. That's GameStop. GameStop number 1703 in Alaska.
By the way, do they have a very good like employment commission there?
Let's do Hawaii real quick. This is Hawaii GameStop number 1002. You should check back with us every day from now until the end of the week. We haven't started yet, but it should be very soon. Motherfucker, we're calling from Florida. That shit's expensive. Right?
I will say, just as an aside to this story, when I went in to get my PS3 pre-order, phone ringing off the fucking hook would not stop ringing.
Oh, I think that was me, actually.
It was early in the morning.
Sorry.
You were calling me Union Square One over and over?
I want to run through some of these states because I really want people to check the story out. Colorado, GameStop number 468. Hi to our fans in Colorado. Denver, big fan. We're not sure yet, but a great way to know is if you had a Game Informer card and magazine subscription and left your email with us, then you'd probably end up knowing the day before we know.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
That dude just got promoted because he stuck the company there.
Let's go to Idaho. Let's go to the potato state, which is, I mean, one of my favorite states in the union.
I like potatoes.
This is EB Games number 4186. Have you pre-ordered your games yet?
Oh, there you go.
Come in, pre-order some games, and you'll be good to go. It's going up a whole notch in Idaho. Nintendo is horrible about making enough software for the holidays. Just come in with $20 and put $5 on a couple games, and if you don't get a system, you can just cancel the pre-orders and take the money back. We can't make this shit up, all right? This isn't the Colbert Show. This is all real. Kansas. GameStop number 2813. Sooner the better, huh? We can pre-order your games, but we can't pre-order you a system yet. Kentucky, Shane State. At this moment, we don't know. Long silence. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one state skips home state. Wisconsin. Packers, Brett Favre. The swan song. This is store number 4626 in the EB Games Empire. It looks like we'll just sell that one. I have no clue what that's a reference to. I have no idea. That might be that one SKU. because there will be 2 to 4 million units available on launch day, and EB GameStop will be getting 70% of them.
Nice.
First come, first serve would be doable. Even a smaller store like ours would be getting upwards of 50 units day one.
All right, here, you got to give, you know what you got to give me? So, you got to give me Texas, because that's where GameStop's corporate headquarters is.
Oh, Texas is good. Didn't you work in Texas, Garnet? Texas, this is EB Games number 4527.
All I can
I'm really not sure. Laughs. So,
oh my god!
That story. Story is called "The State of Wii Pre-orders Across the Country." It's by Dan Dormer, one of our freelancers.
Downtown Dan Dormer.
Downtown Dan delivering. It's
follow up to that nice story. Who is waiting in line this morning?
Okay, not it.
Anybody?
No.
2 million. Two to 4 million available at launch. I'll be able to fucking
I think I might be.
I'll just go to Target.
Just to be safe.
Double dip.
I only have to get there like an hour early. It's not 4 hours early.
This is a box you're going to go to Target. If they've got as many as they say, you can be able to go to Target and pick it up, no problem.
Let's keep talking about the
Wii. Yeah, but you know, Nintendo's really good about creating demand.
Yes,
and like,
they are.
Exactly.
There's no way that they're going to have enough available.
I think if you get there, if we get there an hour early this morning, before the store opens, I think we'll be fine. And it's maybe worth that hour to guarantee one. I don't know.
That's pretty impressive. He's going an hour early in the morning to pick up a peripheral pre-order.
Mark, you got to have the Twilight Princess on the Wii. Nintendo, exactly. Let's keep talking about Nintendo. Apparently, the Wii is going to have problems if you're using it in, like, your greenhouse. Because some sunlight issues with the communication between the Wiimote and the sun.
I thought I read on a story on IGN that that they tested that with, Ubisoft driving games and didn't have the problem.
Another Nintendo executive told Kikazo, I believe, that, yes, it's going to be a problem, but it won't be a big deal. It'd be like moving your TV away from having glare from when you're watching TV or playing video games.
Speaking of Ubisoft, they've had a lot to say lately, huh?
That's a good transition. Ubisoft is actually really leery of an EA takeover. They've talked about how they're throwing its support behind the Nintendo Wii, and that they're concerned about EA and, like, an EA-Ubisoft
merger.
Wasn't
this from last year?
Yeah, well,
I remember the story. It was last year's news.
Aren't they, like, the same? I mean, Ubisoft and EA sort of have the same aspirations. Like, they just both want to be sort of the go-to guy for your third parties.
Mm-hmm.
But it was EA last year who was buying into Ubisoft. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
And how much attention do you developers pay to who owns actually the publishing company and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, not much, to be honest.
Doesn't matter so much, does it?
No,
it's all,
not at all.
It's all on their side. You don't really give a shit.
I mean, you know, sometimes you can get some people from whoever developer, they jump ship.
Right.
Free agency.
Free agencies.
Yeah, between EA and Ubisoft, there's been some bad blood for that very reason.
Up exactly. In the northern part of North America.
Up in the Great White North.
Up in the
Army
Great White
of
North.
Two.
That's right.
So an internal email thread floated around about this in the Ziff network, that the PSU 360 beta is going to start this weekend. Listen to that. Excited.
Yeah, I didn't see you respond to it.
No, because I don't care about Phantasy Star on whatever the fuck it is.
Why don't you try playing an online RPG where you actually do something?
Because I'm going to be
besides chat.
Because I'm going to be playing an online RPG where I don't when I'm playing the
Burning Crusade. Yeah.
Closed beta, baby. Me and my shaman. Life. You're excited about PSU.
Your online chat room. Yeah, I'm very excited about PSU.
Even though, I mean, it's kind of rough, isn't it?
I'm a little worried about PSU, but I'm excited about it at the same time. Like, the trial, unfortunately, was supposed to start Wednesday, and you're supposed to have a week. Now it's starting this weekend. It's only going to Wednesday. You can download it off Xbox Live. I'm going to be there. I'm happy. There's enough people in the office. We'll have a nice six-person party, but I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about it, to be honest.
And, I mean, and Xbox Live's going down for 24 hours this weekend.
You're kidding.
It's taking a timeout.
When?
Let me see. It's in the story. It says 24 hours. I'm sorry, not this weekend. Tuesday, October 17th.
All right.
God, why? By then, you'll be done with it. That's it.
Bully's coming.
Microsoft's relenting under the weight of Bully.
Yeah.
They're giving up.
Wow, 24 hours? That's bad.
Yeah.
So the Burning Crusade closed beta is starting. We got our invites here at work for the most part. And it's starting with no NDAs, which I thought was really interesting. So I might be updating constantly on lucums.oneup.com once I start playing through the game.
So that would necessitate you actually putting it down.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
As director of game videos, very interested that there's no NDA.
You know, let me know when you want to start seeing bosses and stuff. I can probably get Paradox to start delivering some boss content to you.
We're going
to
have like 4 film crews following you around for the next week or so.
Excellent, excellent. Activision has added Gun and Call of Duty to Steam.
Actually, it's a bigger story than that. Steam, like, had a bunch of announcements within the last 2 days
for
this digital distribution thing. They picked up City Life, which no one really knows. It's a city builder game of Monte Cristo, but I guess it had a big following in Europe and has some people's attention to it.
Call of Duty 2.
They picked up Call of Duty.
Psychonauts last week.
Out of nowhere, you know? Yep. So, digital distribution, going to take off? I don't know. I mean, God, I have
Steam is making a pretty strong play for it to take off.
Steam is making a play for finally delivering on what they promised a long time ago, which is to actually create a legitimate store online for buying games. So, but does it work? You know, we talked about EB Games a minute ago. EB Games has tried this like 2 times already, and it hasn't worked for them. Well, they even tried renting games.
Yeah, I'm curious what Geronimo thinks about, like, one of the one-up yours things that you guys are always talking about is episodic content, and we already know, like, with the next Grand Theft Auto that there's going to be, you know, the 360 exclusive content and stuff like that. What's sort of your take on downloadable content? What's worth it? When it works, when it doesn't, what's important to keep in mind for it? And kind of, I guess, it goes along with the whole digital distribution thing.
I don't think it's worked yet. It's going to work. And, you know, for any game maker, it's an easy way to get your games out there and played. So it definitely brings a lot of good to the table. So, you know, we will take advantage of whatever's out there to get our content to people. So it's that simple. It's not.
What do you think it'll take for it to work?
Something that's cool, something that's interesting. I mean, you know, Half-Life is distributing some stuff on there, and that's got a lot of buzz. You know, and Xbox Live, there's stuff that, you know, like Phantasy Star Online, the beta test, that stuff's pretty cool.
What about as opposed to digital distribution, what about downloadable content?
Yeah.
Like, what about that? Like, when does it work? When does it doesn't work? What's important?
Like, if you call it episodic, it's like, what's the timeline for episodic? Is it months? Years? You know?
Right.
No one's really done it right, because when I think of it, I think of it kind of like a bi-weekly thing, or I'm not.
Like what Sam and Max is doing.
I don't know what Sam and Max is doing.
They're doing. They have a program that's like, I think it's
Telltale Games.
Yeah, it's Telltale Games. I think it's a content every month, but then supplemented every 2 weeks with something else. As I believe what Ryan from Games for Windows was explaining to me.
Trailers.
But that transitions very nicely into the last thing that I want to talk about today, which is probably the most upsetting thing from the week, and it's even more upsetting than a Sony Australia. I guess they have an Australian office calling the Xbox 360 and the Wii too expensive, which wasn't on the news list, Skip, so I'm sorry. But that just happened. If you missed the story, check it out. The Wii and the Xbox 360 are too expensive this holiday season. PS3?
It's probably the controllers.
PS3? Just right.
Oi.
Just right in Australia in March.
It's probably the controllers.
The most upsetting thing of the week, though, was something that surfaced Thursday afternoon via NeoGAF, and then I saw it on EB Games, too, that Lost Planet's going to have a collector's edition, which is cool, right? $70.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, in that collector's edition, going to have a token for a free download on day one. So if you pre-order a collector's edition of Lost Planet, you will get a free download of a map that I would assume at this point, Capcom's lips are sealed, will be a paid download.
Oh, God. Wait, it's a map?
It's a new map for multiplayer. So it's like a tard pack of Lost Planet, which is a game that before this, I was pretty excited for. But now seeing the sort of capitalization, like, when did Horse Armor fuck up everything for all of us? Like, why are microtransactions the new Vogue?
Easy there.
So here's fuck the thing. Off, Garnet.
It's one freaking map.
No. I agree it's messed up because it fractures the audience, but we don't know if it's going to work out. Like we were talking about earlier this week with Halo, the way that they did it with Halo 2, maybe it becomes free to everybody else 2 months, 1 month, whatever,
if it's going to become free, 1 month from launch, Bungie was upfront about it from the very beginning.
That's true.
They
true.
Said from the get-go, they said,
Capcom
they said map pack, $20 now, free, end of the summer.
They still have time till the end of the year before the launch
those
to
lips
announce
better,
it. So.
Those lips better loosen up because, again, like Xbox Live cannot become a slippery slope for your stupid shit. It cannot, especially with a game like Lost Planet, where you have a sea of Xbox 360 owners who are really excited to get it before the PS3 gets it in a year and a half.
And I don't mind paying that extra money for that extra level. I more mind fracturing the audience, and I'm playing with my friends that didn't buy the deluxe pack, and then I can't play with them. And like we talked about with Halo, if you know it's coming down the line, you can deal with it. But if it's not, if it's just left over and they never get it, you're basically dividing your whole audience into the haves and have-nots.
And you can't divide your whole audience into the haves and have-nots on a new IP.
Are we having a five-minute argument over one fucking map?
Listen, it's not one fucking map. It's the principle behind it, you douchebag. if you fucking don't believe, turn in your headset and let's go. It's ridiculous. It's
absurd. How does it discredit the single-player game?
I can't talk about it.
Why not?
Because I can't talk about it.
I don't understand.
Maybe I know things about the single player game that you don't. I can't talk about it.
I think that's a good place to end the show.
Get us out of here.
All right. So thanks for our special guest here, Mr. John.
Thank you, Geronimo, for coming by today.
Thanks for having me on. I'm a fan of the show.
That's what Garnet was saying, was that you actually are a regular listener, and you've had some sort of traumatic listening experiences.
Yeah, man, you know, it's very interactive. And not that, I love listening to you guys. I think, it's fun to hear you guys, your opinions, but sometimes it makes me throw a speaker. So.
Like, to hot seat, who makes you throw speakers the furthest?
You, my friend.
Yeah. Shock and awe.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Rockstar's a PlayStation developer.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, dude. I thought that I had him right there at the end. I just couldn't.
Fuck you, Garnet. Fuck
it was
you.
That close, and he looked over him, and he was like, no, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction, bastard. You know what the sucks is we actually talked about the whole Lost Planet thing earlier, so you already knew what I thought about it.
Yeah.
I should not talk to you about things ahead of time, because I can't push you over the edge.
Maybe we shouldn't talk before the show.
I'm a little disappointed John isn't here.
We're
all disappointed John is here, and it's awesome when he's here. Anyway, but he'll be here next week when we're back, and until then, you can catch us on boards.oneup.com, and we are out.